The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
So I'm just going to start from the scratch so that we can prepare for other ministers. I know many things are going to be done by heaven in this meeting. Praise God. God is set to do great things in this meeting. One of the things I sensed why I was here yesterday night, I didn't consider it until yesterday while, you know, I sat down and I was hearing, you know, the ministers in the meeting talking. I just sense that there is something about this topic. It's not an ordinary topic. I have to listen to some of the messages that you preached, you know, and then I just sense that it is not an ordinary topic. Now, some of the topics that are coming out right now, it's not as if we've not heard anything about salvation, you know, but I begin to see that it is actually, we're actually in a season where the Lord is driving this thing into the body.
Yes.
We are in a season where the Lord is driving this thing into the body. There is, I won't say there's coming an awakening. There is already an awakening in some quarters. You know, I was telling Pastor Ty, when I was hearing one of the ministers, I won't mention his name, who happens to be a very popular minister, you know, preaches everywhere, raises money, a prosperity preacher. In fact, he said he can collect money from devil. He said if Satan appears and sits in his meeting, he can collect money from him. He preaches in any pulpit. There's no platform that he desires to preach, home and abroad, that he cannot preach in. They invite him all over the world. But he said in the midst of that prosperity message, he's lost himself. He was lost. He couldn't find his core. He couldn't find his score. He just knew something was missing. He did everything. He took time to fast and pray. Nothing was happening. He took time, you know, to wait upon the Lord. Nothing. The Lord didn't even speak to him. You know, you don't understand what that kind of thing, what it means. A minister like that, and you're taking time to seek the Lord, and the Lord is not talking to you. Boy, you're in a danger zone. I can tell you that, you know. But the Lord does things in such a way that, you know, it humbles all of us. He humbles all of us. After he searched and searched, all the normal things he would have done, and, you know, things will, maybe the Lord will speak to him and then he will have direction. Nothing. Nothing. He said he got lost. He said he was even afraid if he was going to make heaven. But he said one of the days he just entered into the bookshop and saw a minister's book. And this minister of the gospel is a minister of the gospel he does not regard. He doesn't regard the minister. He feels this one is just too, this one is just somebody who sit down and be teaching. What kind of thing is that? As if you are in a classroom. You know? But he said somebody just told him to open the book. He opened the book, read a little bit of it. When he read, he didn't get anything at all. But he just decided, okay, let me pack all of them. Let me even go through and know what this guy is saying. Why is the whole world listening to him? Why is the whole world listening to him? Let me listen to what he's saying. And then he packed the book. He didn't read it. He didn't read it. He just packed it at home. It was until he had a journey, and while he was going to the journey, he took two of the books. He still didn't read it. It was while he was now returning, while in the plane, that, of course, he was tired and then he needed to read. So he just picked and read. He said it was as if his eyes opened. And he said, what have I been preaching? He said, that was the first time. This is a minister, a popular minister. I said, this is the first time I understood the gospel. He said, I understood the gospel. You know, and he now went and had to read everything. And his preaching, of course, changed. And I know sometimes the Lord has to allow them get to their wit's end, where they don't know what to do again or where to turn to before he opens up the door. And of course, that is what he's ministering today. In fact, he had to call some other ministers, popular, you know, big daddies in the body, and told them, this is what I've just discovered. One of them was telling him, why did the Lord wait for me to be 70? I've preached for over 40 something years. The Lord had to wait for me to be 70 before he opened my eyes to see this thing, what is called the gospel. Now, the people I'm talking about are people who have handled the former reign. You know, the former reign was majorly characterized by signs, wonders, miracles, things that we who are in this particular emphasis or this particular move desire. One of our fathers was ministering in his meeting. You know, that's also another father that the Lord dealt with. He was able to migrate from the former reign to this reign. And while he was ministering, you know, I was seated beside some of his pastors, you know, and then he talked about that he has seen the dead raised in his ministry. And of course, it's true. I know him. He's an evangelist. He has seen the dead raised. He has seen this one happen. The lame walk, hunchback, straighten. You know, those are not ordinary. Those are creative miracles. Hunchback, straightened. You know, the dead raised and all of that. But that while he was doing that, he was asking himself, is this all? Is this all? At a point, he asked the Lord, is it all about the gospel? But it took a long time before he now began to understand what you at your age is understanding. It took a long time. While he was old already, I mean, he's aged, before he began to understand the gospel, you know. So while he was talking, you know, one of the pastors, young pastors that was there, one of them said, just said, you know, he just said it, and we are all pastors that were there. He said, that is that one you were talking about, that other one, that your former anointing, if I can just have it. All these ones you are talking about, I'm not interested. Amen. But you see, one thing we must understand, that they are dispensations, and God does not joke when a particular time and season comes. He doesn't joke with it. He doesn't joke with times and seasons. When a season comes, and this is it, and it's actually the word that he has given in that season that he will publish. And that's also the word that he will also bear witness to. Amen. So I want to just encourage you that in this meeting, you're going to be hearing so much. Now, you are privileged. You're just privileged to be born in this season where you can receive the knowledge of the Holy. You're privileged. Because to publish salvation is going to be by words. He said the Lord gave his word, and great was the company of them that published it. The Lord gave his word. So, what did he give? So salvation is going to be given by what?
Word.
I don't know if you're following me. Salvation is going to be given by what?
Word.
Not by miracles.
Word.
Not by miracles. It's going to be given by words. So the Lord is going to give his word.
Hallelujah.
It's going to be by word. The salvation is going to be conveyed by words. You know, he said, which began to be spoken. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which began to be spoken by the Lord? So, salvation is meant to be spoken. Amen.
Amen.
Salvation is meant to be what? Spoken. Amen. Can we just pray? Father, we thank you this morning because you will help us. Thank you because you've answered all our prayers concerning these meetings. From now, Lord, even from yesterday up to weekend, Lord, heaven is open over us. We will not fall short in the place of hearing. We will not fall short in the place of receiving. Lord, we are asking that your spirit will hold us, will lay hold upon our faculties, that none of our faculties will, Lord, will escape even the sword of the spirit. We are asking the Lord that words that will come will be piercing, Lord, that it cuts to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrows, of the joints and the marrow. Let it discern the thoughts and the intents of our hearts, oh God, that salvation might come to us. Oh, salvation to our God who is seated upon the throne. You are salvation. You give salvation. You minister salvation. We are asking for mercy. Mercy, great mercy even this morning as we hear. Lord, we will not hear with the hearing of our ears, but we will hear even with our hearts. In the name of Jesus, I come under your mighty hands. I come under the Holy Ghost. I ask the Lord, you will enable me to speak expressly, even as I ought to, even the way you want me to, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stop with this place. Praise God. We are ready. Moving on. Amen. He said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Amen. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Of course, you must understand that the escaping here is not escaping from hell. It's not the escaping from hell. Here, he's not talking about hell. So you can understand that it's basically not the new birth that is being talked about here. He called it so great salvation. So great salvation. So it means there is something we ought to escape from. There is something we ought to escape from. There is that which we must escape from. There is that which we must escape from. And that is why. And then there's nothing that will make us escape that if not the salvation that is in God. Or that is God. God is the only one who is the escape that is safe. That is why he is salvation. He's the only one that is safe. Now, angels couldn't escape. So it means that there is something, even though they were fearfully and wonderfully made. Look at that cherubim that was, you know, that they have to begin to describe in the book of Ezekiel 28. You can see all the things about that cherubim. Now, that's the manner of cherubs. They are called the sons of the morning. They are called the morning stars. Now, but at that peak, something caught up with one of them. Meaning, they still have ability to turn. There is something in them that is not, they are not yet to the point where they cannot turn. But when they are describing God, they said, in whom there is no variableness, neither the shadow of turning. Meaning, God can't turn. There is something about him that you can't remove him from eternal life. He is eternal life. You can't. He doesn't change. That is why John speaking, he said, this is the message that we have heard of him. That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There is no darkness in him. So the presence of darkness is a sign that there is still ability to turn. Now, remember, this darkness is not darkness as in evil. It's not just darkness as in evil. It is that incompleteness that creation lacks. Because all creation falls under this particular definition. God, from the angelic down, they all fall under this definition. There is still darkness. The darkness here I'm talking about is ability to turn, meaning they can still turn. But there is one who cannot turn. That is our God. And I love that place in the book of Revelation. I said, he that overcometh will I make a pillar in the house of my God, and he will not go out again. That's salvation. That's what you call salvation. He can't go out again. Meaning you can, when they make you a pillar in the house of God and you can't go out again, means you can't come out of God. You know the way Jesus is, he can't come out of God. Amen. He can't come out of God. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, in that he died once. But in that he liveth unto God. He can't, it's impossible for him to die. He can't die again. It's not possible for him to die again. He has been locked in into a realm where there is no darkness at all. Darkness is not part of what constituted that particular realm. That's our Lord Jesus, who has for us entered. Amen. Hallelujah. But like I said, you know, let me just begin from this place. He said the Lord gave his word. Can you say the Lord gave his word? Give me that place. Psalm 68. Verse 11. The Lord gave his word. The Lord gave his word. This salvation is great. The Lord gave his word. And then what? Great was the company. That word company, if you check, there's a footnote there. It's actually army. Great was the army of those that published it. Great was the army of those that published it. Great was the army of those that published the word that was given. Amen. Amen. The Lord gave his word. So each time the Lord wants to do something for man, what he does is that he gives his word. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you say the Lord gives his word? Of course, he does nothing without his word. That's why I always tell people, I said, if you're tired of hearing, you don't want to be saved. Yes. Yes, if you don't want to hear, then you don't want to be saved. Because your salvation is tied to your hearing. Your salvation is tied to your ears. In the book of Revelation, he said, he that has ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. What the Spirit saith to the churches. What the Spirit is ministering to the churches at that particular time are the things that pertain to salvation. That even said, he that has ear also implies that it's not everybody that has ear. I don't know if you're following me. He that has ear implies that it's not everyone that has ear. It's not everyone that can hear what the Spirit is saying. It's not everyone that has ear to hear. As a matter of fact, you need to understand, the reason why they wrote to the angels who are the messengers to those churches is because they are actually the one that has ear. They are the ones that have developed ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. Is when they hear, then they will be able to now explain, show, hallelujah, to the rest of the people what the Spirit is saying. That ear, like I said, is not your physical ear. It's not a physical hearing. There is a kind of ear that you have to have. Let me say this. Can you say my soul? Say it again, my soul. Say it again, I'm not hearing, I'm not feeling you. Some of you are dragging. Can you say my soul? Now, your soul, you need to understand, your soul has similar functions with the, I'll call it the senses. When you say the senses, or the parts of your body. Let me give you an example. When we talk about laying hold on eternal life, is it with this hand? Is it with this hand? No, it's not with this hand you lay hold. It means your soul can act as hand. When you say we walk by faith, is it with this leg? So it means your soul has leg. It can act as a leg. I don't know if you're following me. So it means also your soul can see. It has a function of sight. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Amen. Your soul can also hear. Your soul can also hear. But you see, for the soul to hear salvation, something must have happened to that soul. Amen. Something must have happened to that soul. So, in other words, it means that this army that is being talked about are armies that have ear. Now, you can't be part of this army if you've not developed ear. You need to have developed ears to hear. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You need to have developed ears to hear. I remember David, that was one good example. One of the time when he wanted to go for war and he asked the Lord, shall I go or should I pursue and overtake? And he said, hold on, don't go. But when you hear the wind upon the blueberry tree, then know that I have gone ahead of you. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I think that's this place. Thank you, PJ. He said, and let it be when thou hearest the sound. So there is a sound you must hear. When thou hearest the sound of a going in the top of the mulberry trees, then thou shalt be stirred. So stir up yourself, because when you hear, what will happen to you is that you'll be stirred. You know, I love that song, We Come Alive. That song is sung yesterday. At the sound of good tidings of good, you are stirred. He said, then stir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee. Meaning the Lord has to go out before thee. So it means the strategy that David used here was sound. Ability to hear sound. Ability to hear the sound. And that sound was an indication that the Lord has gone ahead of him. The Lord has gone before him. I'm praying that we would develop ears to hear the sound. We can hear many things, but we may not hear the sound. And we need to hear that sound. We need to hear that sound. Amen. Amen. So I'm talking about the army. The army is an army that has developed ears. It's an army that has developed ears to hear. Great was the army that published. Now, it's been said yesterday by Mama, you can't publish what you don't know. Meaning you can't publish what you did not, because there's no way you know it if you did not hear it. You can't publish what you don't know. So great was the army that published it. So it means this army, we are army that we are built by reason of hearing. Can you say by reason of hearing? Say it by reason of hearing. Say it again, by reason of hearing. That we are army that we are built by reason of hearing. I love Isaiah 55. He said, hear. Hear and your soul shall live. So it means when I hear, then what am I doing? I am acquiring life. When I hear something is happening to me, I am acquiring life. My soul will live. My soul will live. When I hear, my soul will live. Now, there's a need for my soul to live. If my soul does not live, then I will not come into this everlasting covenant. God won't be able to make an everlasting covenant with a soul that is dead. You can be quickened in your spirit, but as long as your soul has not received life, your soul needs to receive life. That's the reason for hearing. So it means each time you sit down like this and you're hearing, don't take it for granted. And can I say this? Don't sleep. Because a little sleep and a little slumber. And that poverty is not just physical poverty. It means you will not be able to prosper. You'll be able to prosper spiritually. Hearing is important. Satan will fight you with sleep. And you don't hear when you're sleeping. Do you? You dream and then you're seeing me teach. Or you're seeing Reverend teach. And you're hearing. I'm sure what you're hearing there is not what they are saying. You must be hearing something else. Amen. So I need to keep awake. Can you say, I need to keep awake? Every second, every minute, something is being said. There is that which heaven is saying, which I need to hear. What heaven begins to say, first of all, is life. Amen. They begin to say, speak life. They begin to speak life. Let me take us through the scriptures to enable us to understand what I'm talking about. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
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 Are we together?
Yes.
You know, because I teach calmly, I also preach. But that's when the anointing for preaching comes. I know the two anointings and I know how they operate. Alright? I love teaching more. I love teaching anointing than preaching anointing. Amen.
Amen.
But both of them are just wonderful. We need both of them. How many of us know we need both of them? We need both of them. Amen.
Amen.
And then one of the things about teaching anointing is that you can sleep off. That's what I'm saying, don't sleep. Amen. Praise God. All right, let's just go small. Amen.
Amen.
Let's look at Romans chapter 5. Let's examine Romans chapter 5. From verse 17. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one. By one man's offense, what happened? Death reigned. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall do what? Shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men and unto justification of life. Amen. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abound, grace did much more abound. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, one of the things that caught my attention here is this verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned. So there is something that reigned overall. Amen. There's something that is reigning. that has rained. When you read that before, he said that rained from Adam till Moses. That rained from Adam till Moses. Now I was wondering, why did he say from Adam to Moses? Now, one of the reasons I perceive is because there's something the law came to do. The law came to actually make sin sinful. Came to reveal sin. You know, Paul said, I did not know sin until the law came. The law came and sin was unveiled. Sin was shown, you know, came out in its true color. Now, the reason why sin came out, you know, like you said, sir, I'm sorry I'm on air, but, you know, I'll just go on and say it. One of the reasons why God raised our president is to unveil the evil, the thoughts of evil that is in the heart of some. What they are, you know, as it were, concocting. Which, if you have told a Southerner, he will not believe. If you have told any other Nigerian, he will not believe. They will argue with you. But the Lord, in order to do that, revealed it through by sending one man. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. By sending one man, and by sending that man, it becomes obvious. Just like what God did with Pharaoh. What God did with Pharaoh, and I perceive God is going to do the same thing to them. I perceive God is going to bring judgment upon judgment, judgment upon judgment, until that thing is broken. Because the Lord has said it concerning this nation. This nation will be a nation where righteousness will reign. Ah, you didn't say amen. So the same was the law. The law, sin, you see that law, can you say the law?
The law.
The law that was ordained by the hand of an angel. That's what the way Bible puts it. It was ordained through the hands of an angel. Then it means that the angels, they know about that law. Now you remember the tabernacle which the law, which was given to Moses, also, you know, seats in, was also a tabernacle of angels. So they told Moses, see that you build it according to the pattern which you saw. So there was a pattern that was there. So it means that this law was the law that was given to what? To which people? The angels. They know about it. But you know, you need to understand that the person who fell, of course, he contravened all of this law, because there's something it means to them in their own side. I mean, in their own realm, there's something it means there. All of those laws that we are giving to them, there's something it means there. I won't go into it. He contravened all of it, but there was something in it because he happened to be the one of the first. As a matter of fact, if we are to, you know, place them according to the tabernacle, he was an anointed cherub. An anointed cherub is a high priest. An anointed cherub that covereth, meaning he is a man or a being of the most holy, not just the holy place, a being of the most holy place. So the law that was given to man was something that the law that was in him, or the law that is in him, this was a mincemeat. This was, but he didn't know that God actually set him up. So immediately sin saw the law being given to man, because sin itself is what? Is a law. Can you say sin is a law? The strength of sin is the law. The law there is not the law of Moses. The strength of sin is the law of sin and death. That is the strength of sin. The strength of sin is the law of sin and death. Immediately he saw the law given to man, he quickly rushed. He used the law. He could ride on the law. And use the law to rot all manner of concupiscence in man. seized the opportunity of the law and slew many and kept on killing. So death used it to reign. Sin, of course, entering, then death, because of sin, now reign. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Back to that place. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more. I love that. Can you say much more?
Much more.
Say much more.
Much more.
I'm not hearing everybody say much more.
Much more.
What will happen? They which receive what?
Abundance
of grace. Can you say abundance of grace?
Abundance
of grace and the gift of righteousness. Much more there which receive abundance of grace. In other words, it means that we are supposed to receive grace abundantly. Amen. We are supposed to receive what?
Grace
abundantly. Abundance of grace. Meaning grace ought to be multiplied. Grace has to be multiplied for you to come to the place where you will reign. Grace has to be multiplied. For you to come, because what is the reigning? You're supposed to reign in life. You're supposed to reign in life. Grace has to be multiplied. I love that Peter, he said, grace and peace be multiplied. Meaning it can be multiplied. Hallelujah. Abundance of grace comes as a result of abundance of knowledge. He said to me, was given abundance of revelation. Abundance of revelation is needed for abundance of grace. Peter also said, 2 Peter, he said, if these things be in you and they do what? Abound. Can you say if they be in you and abound? And what will happen? They make you that you need that you will not be. Look at it. Just give me that place. For if these things be in you and abound, what would they do to you? They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. They make you that you will not be barren nor unfruitful. Now, when a man is not barren, is when a man is able to bring forth life. When a man is not unfruitful, meaning you're supposed to bring forth. Can you say, I'm supposed to bring forth? You're supposed to bring forth life. But it has to be, if these things be in you and do what? And abound. It has to be in abundance, not small. Let's go up a little bit. Wherefore, add to your faith. From verse 3. Okay. Besides this, giving all what? Do what? Add to your faith. Can you say faith? Add to your faith what? Virtue. And to virtue what?
Knowledge.
And to knowledge what?
Temperance.
And to temperance what?
Patience.
And patience.
Godliness.
And godliness. Brotherly kindness,
charity.
Hallelujah. You see, you add. You add. Now, can I tell you what you're adding? What you're adding is actually Christ. And you add it by knowledge. You add it by knowledge. You're adding Christ. In other words, you can be Christ, but you might not be Christ abundantly. So you have to be Christ in abundance. It's Christ in abundance, not little Christ. Not little Christ. Christ in abundance that can come to reign. Remember what he said in John 10:10? He said, I have come that thou may have life and have it more abundantly. See, you need abundant life. I'm talking about the army now. You need abundant life to break into salvation. You need abundant life to break into eternal life. Abundant life here is not yet eternal life. It's Christ's life. Christ is life. When Christ, who is our life, so Christ is life. That's why Romans chapter 8 said, the spirit is life because of what? Righteousness. You need a lot of Christ. So all of these additions add to your faith. Faith is Christ. Amen. Amen. Faith is what? Give me back that place. Faith is Christ. Virtue. Virtue is Christ. That's Christ. More Christ. Knowledge is Christ. Here we are talking about Christ as knowledge. Temperance. All of this is, you're seeing, they are all Christ measurements. They will be measuring to you Christ. Where are they going to? They want to give you Christ in abundance. They want to give you Christ in abundance. So godliness is Christ. Christ is the truth that is after godliness. The truth that is after godliness is Christ. Because you see, that godliness is profitable. Amen. Can you say it's profitable? Say godliness is profitable. Why? Because it has a promise of the life that is now. The life that is now is the life of faith, which is Christ. That's the life that is now. And then the one that shall be what? That is to come. Which one is to come? Salvation. So it means that he's a man who has become godly. A man who has become godly. Peter began to talk. He said, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of man ought we to be? I mean, there's a kind of man we ought to be. That manner of man is this manner of man. That's what constitutes the army that will publish salvation. This is the manner of man. The manner of man we ought to be is Christ. Because it's only Christ that can be looking for. That can hasten. It's only Christ that has the ability to hasten, because he's also looking for. What manner of man ought we to be in all? Give me that place. This is in Peter. See that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons or man ought ye to be in all holy conversation? Are you seeing that? In all holy conversation and godliness. Meaning that conversation is lifestyle. Yes. Meaning in all our lifestyle, Christ is supposed to be showing. Christ's virtues are supposed to be showing. Temperance, knowledge. Meaning you're judging differently from the way others are judging. Temperance, amen. Patience is showing forth. You know, these virtues are all showing forth in all manner. Meaning in marriage, Christ has to show. Because there's a place where sin has reigned in marriage. But grace wants to reign much more. There's a place where sin has reigned or has abound in relationships. There, grace wants to reign. Christ must reign. Christ must reign. See, listen to me. Christ must reign as a student. Yes, sir. Christ must reign as a lecturer. Yes, sir. Christ must reign as a husband. Yes, sir. As a wife. Yes, sir. As an employer. As an employee. Yes, sir. As a child in the home. As parents. Christ wants to reign in all manner of conversation. He wants to bring holiness. Christ should bring holiness to all our lifestyle. Meaning every place that life finds expression, grace wants to come there. Because there's a way sin has reigned there. Sin has reigned in all manner of conversations. But grace wants to reign. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you have to add all of these to your faith. You add them to your faith. Let's go further from there. For if these things, I love that, I love the word things. All these things are things of Christ. Are you following what I'm saying? They are what? Things of Christ. So Christ also has his things. You know, Christ has his things. And then God has his own things. So I need the things of Christ first. I need to abound in the things of Christ. Can you say I need to abound? Say it with me again, I need to abound. Where? In the things of Christ. I must not be seen lacking in the things of Christ. So check out yourself. If you see that you still have not abounded in patience, then it means there you're lacking. You know, patience. Patience is not something we have. As a matter of fact, it's called the patience of Jesus Christ. One of the reasons why you have to have his patience is because if you're going to be waiting for salvation, long patience. You want to wait for God. You want to wait. You want to see salvation. Then you have to have patience. You know, sometimes some of us, when we're, especially those of us who have been in truth for a long time or for a while, you hear and hear and hear and hear. It's almost, sometimes you're like, is it just this? When are we going to see manifestation? You're almost like, God is not fast. You want it quick, 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 quick. But you have to have patience. Amen.
Amen.
You know, the way he describes this in the book of Revelation, I, your brother John, who am also what? A companion in tribulation and what? And kingdom and patience. Kingdom. So it means that this patience is the patience of the kingdom. I don't know whether you understand me. It's the patience of the kingdom. Meaning if you're waiting for kingdom, you have to possess this kind of patience. Now, and then you can't possess this kind of patience if Christ has not taught you. You must have been taught Christ. You must have learned Christ. They have to teach you Christ both by words and the Spirit of truth also guiding you, leading you, tailoring you, will create situations where you will be demanded to have patience. You know, they don't teach patience just like that. Okay, have patience by laying on of hands. I lay hands on you, patience of Jesus Christ come upon you. You say, amen, I receive it. No, that, you know, they receive that type like that. No, they don't. It's not, doesn't come by laying on of hands. It comes by leading. Can you say it comes by leading? This leading is not choice making. There you don't have choice. You are subjected. You're subjected to the way of the Lord. You see that way of the Lord? That's what he was describing in Psalm 23. He led me in the path of righteousness. He will lead me in the path of righteousness. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, which is also a prescription of the path of righteousness. Why? Because he that ordereth his conversations after righteousness will I show salvation. So he has to lead me. It's in that path of leading that patience. I've heard. You need to hear. When you hear, what you're doing is that you're gathering materials. But you see, that material has to be turned to life. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. It has to be turned, converted to life. And the life that it has to be turned to is the life of Jesus Christ. Can you say patience? That's Christ. Brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. They have to teach you brotherly kindness. That is part of Christ. Now, not small brotherly kindness. Because if these things, can you say things? Because they mentioned them there. If these things be in you and abound, meaning they want it in abundance. Hallelujah. If these things be in you and abound, what would they make you? They make you, you will not be barren. So you see, the key to being fruitful, not being barren, is for these things to abound. You will not be barren, you will not be unfruitful. Where? In the knowledge. Because it's in the knowledge. It's the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ that contains these things. It's the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ that gives these things. But they need to abound in you to the point where you will be able to bring forth fruit. The fruit you bring forth there is life. That's what they mean by abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. The gift of righteousness is life. Through Christ Jesus. That's the gift of righteousness. Meaning when they want to give you righteousness as, I mean, they want to give you the gift of righteousness, because you need grace to abound to bring forth life as a fruit. Then you can reign. Amen.
Amen.
That's when you come into reign. A very good example is Melchizedek. For this Melchizedek, can we give me that place? For this Melchizedek, Hebrews chapter, thank you, my brother. Chapter 7. He said, for this Melchizedek, are you seeing the way he described him? You could see this, the progression. For this Melchizedek, first of all, called King of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Go further. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First, you need to understand that what you see in the scripture, they are not just there for nothing. There's a reason. First, that's an order. First, being by interpretation, what? King of righteousness. So when he said King of righteousness, means he has begun to reign in righteousness. He has come into the reign of righteousness. King of righteousness first, then King of peace. So righteousness reign to peace. King of righteousness, King of peace. First of all, righteousness. To reign means to have mastery. When it's a king of righteousness, meaning he have mastery of righteousness. Let me explain it to you the way it might be easy for you to understand. You remember when Cain's offering was not accepted? Do you remember? What did God tell him? He said, if you now do well, what would have happened? If thou do well, I would have accepted you. So you can see it wasn't the offering, it was him. So all of them that offered, they offered Cain. That place, hear me. When he began, that's in Genesis, he said, in the process of time, meaning they have been processed, they've learned, they've been taught. But while they were being taught, one was abounding. The other one was not abounding. There's something disturbing him. There was a thought that was disturbing him. That thought was sin. Because sin actually starts from the thoughts. Sin thought was disturbing him. While Abel, I don't know. Now, I'm not saying that Abel did, because sin was talking to everybody. Abel was not shielded from sin thoughts. But Abel kept rejecting it. Rejecting sin thoughts. He kept rejecting sin thoughts and then was receiving thoughts of God. God must have, through their father Adam, taught them. Not only he would teach them, and also God himself will also come, because then the souls were still a whole lot alive. God himself would have also started teaching them and bringing, you know, the new things. That generation, they had, the way God dealt with them as almighty. Now when he was talking to Moses, he said, by my name Jehovah, did I not reveal myself to your fathers? Now that name Jehovah was lower than almighty. Do you see why he has to use the name Jehovah? Was because of the dispensation they were. It was a lower. The soul have died so much. But these ones have ability. They possess ability to read the name Almighty. God Almighty. So in the process of time, they were supposed to be adopted. That offering you're seeing was adoption. It was actually adoption. But what do you present? They brought offering though, but it was themselves. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. What did they bring? They brought themselves. They brought their works. The works that have been wrought in them. So it means that when you bring offering, what God has respect for is the offerer. What God checks is what has been worked inside. If what has been worked inside is acceptable, then the offering will be acceptable. It had nothing to do whether it was blood or whether it was fruit. I know it has nothing to do with that. Because even with fruit, there's what is called, he brought forth the firstling. There's also what is called first fruit. But all of them we are supposed to bring themselves. So he told him, he said, if you do well, are you seeing it? Huh? Those who through patient continuance in doing well, are you seeing it? Seek for glory, honor, immortality, eternal life. So there's something you must be doing. So it means that all the time that we are being preached to or taught, God was expecting a work to be done. If you do well, will you not be accepted? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, if thou doest not well, it's because sin has been talking to you. So sin will prevent you from doing well. So I need to keep on doing well. I will overcome sin. Can you say I will overcome sin? The key is, can I keep on doing well? As revelation of well-doing is coming to me, what I must do, let me keep on doing it. If thou do well, shall thou not be, it didn't say shall thy gift not be accepted. Shall thou not be accepted. You are the one that has to be accepted And if thou do not do well, if you don't do well, sin lieth at your door. You know, Hebrews put it this way for us. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent. Check that word. A more excellent. So then it means that Cain actually brought an excellent. He brought an excellent sacrifice. But God in that season was demanding more excellent. So you could have offered in this season, it was accepted. Because each work is calibrated according to that which is given to you. I don't know if you're understanding. When they want to check your works, they will check what investment that heaven has made. Now, if they check the investment they have made, you're not bringing forth commensurately, you're barren. You are unfruitful according to that which has been given. So it means there was a season when Cain offered good sacrifice. I mean, he did goodwill. There was a season where they now demanded acceptable sacrifice, which was excellent, and he gave it. But there was a time when they were now demanding perfect. Meaning totally, because they've given to them. God wouldn't have them. God had to wait for a process of time, meaning that there have been things that have been given to them, and then now he was wanting them to produce accordingly. That was what he was looking for. So by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. And God testifying of his gifts. Amen. God testified of his gifts. God had regards for his gifts. Amen. So what was disturbing Cain? Can you say sin? So I want to show you something. That's where I brought out this particular passage. Sin lied at the door of Cain. Sin was bringing suggestions. Sin was painting pictures. You know when you say sin, the first thing you think is fornication. Those are works. The idea of sin is rain. That is why it's enticing. You don't understand what I mean. The idea of sin is rain. Mind you, God, that was what God wanted them to do. First of all, when he blessed Adam and said, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, and replenish. That thing was dominion that was being given to man. That thing you're seeing, those pronunciations, was how Adam received dominion. So man was created to have dominion. So sin knew that. So what do you think sin will be painting? How to steal? Did Cain steal? He didn't steal. He brought forth out of his goods. Did he lie? He didn't lie. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. Because those things you mentioned, first of all, are manifestation, works of the flesh, man. But sin will paint to you an idea of dominion. An idea of reign. An idea of how you can reign. That you really don't have to go through this path to reign. This path is long.
Thank you. Thank you for Pretania and the cast to the Electra Dispalatadio. For that was the temptation of Adam. That was the temptation of the first man. That was the deceit that he bought. That was the weariness that wearied him. He thought that dominion could be gotten shorter than it was proposed. Yea, for indeed I hand it down to you by process. It is through patience. It is through patience.
Yeah.
It only comes by patience.
Yeah.
You must not be weary of the path.
Yeah.
You must not be weary of the way. There is a path that has been allocated for it to be given. Until you fulfill the curriculum, whatever you get is not dominion. Except you fulfill the curriculum, what you have is not dominion. You must learn by this path. You must stay with the truth. You must allow yourself to be thoroughly bred by hearing the words which I now give to you. For if you will stay and fulfill the patience of the kingdom, you will inherit the promise.
So Christ, I always say Christ is a leveler. Christ will level everybody. Whatever building you came with, Christ will level you. Christ will level you. And then Christ has to be the one that will be built. It's only Christ that can inherit salvation. So I can say where all of them had problem was curriculum of Christ. Can you wait for Christ to be taught? Can you wait for until Christ is finished? You know Christ? Can you say Christ? Christ is the wisdom which God hid in himself before the world began. Now that wisdom is how to come to God. It's a mystery. God hid it. How to come to God. God was there. As a cherub you were near, but you didn't come to God. That's what it means to come to God. That is what it means to come. To come to God, you have to come to salvation. But you can't come to God in his true essence. Now, it doesn't mean that they don't know God. They knew God. There was a knowledge of God they possessed. But that knowledge of God was not enough to make them saved. That knowledge could not seal them unto eternal life. The Bible talked about God who only had immortality and dwelt. Only him had immortality and dwelt in light. The only potentate. The only wise God. When you talk about life in its true essence, you're talking about him. So to come to him, there's a way he ordained that men should come to him. And he hid that in himself. I perceive the reason why he hid it in himself is that the only place you can hide something and no being will be able to see it is in the invisible God. Amen. Anything that is inside him becomes invisible. Because you know these beings, they have eyes. Cherubims, they have sight. Some of them are described as having eyes within and without. So, where are you going to hide? In heaven, not their place now. They know all the mysteries of heaven. They know everything. If you want to hide it on earth, Abba, it's a lower dimension. There is no knowledge here they don't know. You want to hide it beneath. It's very easy for them to find it out. So God had to hide it in himself. And he called it mystery. Mystery. That was the dispensation that was given to Paul. He called it the dispensation of the gospel that was given to me. So that when you read, you will understand my knowledge in this mystery. And it's to make all men see what is the fellowship of this mystery. So it's a mystery. Can you say Christ?
Christ.
What you're learning now is a mystery.
Yes, sir.
You know, sir, it's funny. The people that they freely gave it to don't see anything in it. They don't see anything in it. They don't see it as something to learn. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Can you say mystery?
Mystery.
Christ. That's that mystery. So that was where they began to have trouble. By the time, and every soul that comes to Christ, every soul that comes to Christ, if you are not careful, After a while, you become weary and you faint in your mind. After a while, you know why? Christ was meant to, first of all, everything called flesh. You know, there's something that kind of man, you know, flesh is a combination, flesh or old man, you call it flesh. You can also call it old man. It's a combination of the fallen cherub. The life of the fallen cherub and the living soul combined together form the kind of man you call old man, which is flesh. It's a program that Satan sold to man to run. One thing it does not like are these virtues that are in Christ. That is why Christ is the kind of man that is acceptable to God. Are you seeing it? So when you're learning Christ, you're learning what is acceptable to God. So let me go further a little bit more. So this was the problem. Sin lieth at your door. So sin had promises. Sin was making promises. The promise of sin was reign, dominion. Because he knew that was what God had given to man initially. That was the same thing he told Jesus. He said, if you bow down and worship me, for all these things have been given to me. What do you think he was talking about? It was dominion. It was reign. If you bow and worship me, I will give you reign. That was the same thing he did to Adam. That was also the same thing he was doing to Cain and Abel. But I don't know how Abel found grace to reject it. That's why his blood was compared with the blood of Jesus. Call it the blood of Jesus that speaketh better things than the blood. So it means the blood of Abel was speaking good things. What was the good things? Righteousness. Righteousness of the living soul. And by that, men, we are also raised after that order. If that blood became a publisher. That's what gave birth to guys like Enoch. You know? Enoch, Methuselah, Noah. These are men who found grace. So, Abel also found grace. Refused to learn sin. First of all, to hear suggestion of sins, the thoughts of sin, the promises that sin was making. Abel was closing his ears. May we learn to close our ears. Because that same thing is still happening. When you see people not making progress in faith as they ought to, something is disturbing their wavelength. Something is disturbing their wavelength. But to Cain, he was telling Cain, God was saying, he said, if you do well, will thou not be accepted? But if thou doest not well, sin had been lying at your door. Now, I want you to see something here. And unto thee shall be his desire. Meaning sin desires you. There was a reason why sin was desiring Cain. Up till then, Adam sinned, of course. Adam disobeyed. But the knowledge of sin, he refused it. He refused to usher in, open up the door for sin to now become a teaching. Because if sin is going to reign, the knowledge of sin has to come. The knowledge of sin has to come. Sin has to be taught. And then man will learn sin. So Adam did not open the door. So it means this guy kept fighting. Even though he tumbled Adam, he didn't rest. He wanted to push forth knowledge of sin into the earth. But I perceive Adam refused. He was able to recognize what he did, and then he repented and refused. But he came to the two sons, suggested to Cain, open your door. That's your heart. Because your heart is the street. Open your streets. Let me teach on your streets. I want to teach on your streets. If I finish teaching on your streets, you will embody me. And when you embody me, you will reign. You will gain mastery. But Abel kept refusing. But Cain was entertaining, because sin can desire a man. Sin desires every man. Can I say to you this? Sin desires you much more when your feet is found on the path of faith. You become desirable. You become comely. Sin doesn't even like crude men. It doesn't like crude men. Check Nebuchadnezzar. Who are the people he chose? Of the king's seed. There's something about that. So it always desires the ones that are already walking by faith. You become desirable, and he wants you. You know, Peter, Satan has desired to have you. But I've prayed for you. That your faith, what was he looking for? Your faith. Fail not. So you become more desirable when you're on the path of faith. That's why you need to continue. Can you say continue? The path of faith is a path of warfare. It's a warfare for the rest of your life. If need be, you are in manifold temptations. If need be, for a season, you are in manifold temptations. Why? Because the trial of your faith being more precious than what? Gold that is tried in fire may appear unto praise, honor, and what? Glory at the appearing. Abba. So the one that faith, see that faith, he has to abound unto praise, honor, and glory. It means that even the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is appearing without sin unto salvation, is supposed to work out praise. It means that the faith has to have endured and waited. Then when he appears, it will turn to praise. And then it will turn to again to honor. And then will turn to glory. So what was enticing Cain was rain. So see that issue of rain. Sin was desiring him. He said, unto thee shall be his desire. And what will happen? And thou shalt reign over him. You know, when you look at that, you're thinking, okay, what is God saying there? No, you will gain mastery over sin. Meaning you will use sin to live. Instead of king of righteousness, you become king of sin. King of sin is not the one who is sinning every day, doing everything. No, he has what he's using to reign. His scepter is scepter of righteousness. Well, this scepter is scepter of sin. So he's using sin to reign. Men, not many men on earth has come into this order. Not many. But the days we are in, you're going to see many will arise. Many are going to arise. When I'm talking about the order of using sin, reigning with sin, making profit with sin. Men, you're going to see men who will make profit with sin. They will reign. You know, when you see that son of perdition, what he had was dominion. He knew how to use sin. He ruled over sin. Just like Melchizedek was king of righteousness, this guy was a king. So he knew how to kill men. It was easy for him to kill men, because he knew what to say, what to do, images to make, how to express dominion. He knew how to express dominion of sin. So he was using sin to profit. But I love that this order being interpreted, first of all, being interpreted, king of what? Righteousness. King of righteousness. And after King of righteousness, what? King of peace. So he's not just King of righteousness. After it, King of peace. You know, it's a covenant of peace that we must come into before we enter into the most holy. So you won't just reign, because here he was talking about those who have received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in the life that is Christ. I perceive that when you come to peace, why is peace? It's because it's charity. That's the end of the commandment. Meaning he has come to the point where every dichotomy, every enmity has been resolved. He's not an enemy of God in any way. There is no... I know, sir, I know you will say, am I an enemy of God? It's not the way you think. There are things that are in you that are constituted against God. You don't know them. You don't know them until certain seasons come. Then you just discover that you're not cooperating with God. Now, the same was with Cain. There was a time when he was offering offerings. He was offering to God that which was acceptable. But there came a time when something stood. So every one of us, we have enmity. Until you come to peace. First of all, righteousness. You must have learned righteousness to the point where you gain mastery of righteousness. Then you will now come to what? Peace. And become King of peace. Now there are two things that has to be multiplied. Grace, which is righteousness, actually. And then peace be multiplied to you. Then King of peace. Then the last one. Priest of the Most High God. Give me that place. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring you good tidings. We have mommy read yesterday. Isaiah. See, there's something about Bible that if you pay attention, you'll be able to pick actually the synchrony, the flow. Say, how beautiful are the feet upon the mountain. Upon the mountain. How beautiful upon the mountain. So it means that feet is not beautiful until it has mounted. It has to have gained height. And to mount, my brother, no be small matter. You have to climb. You're going against yourself. You're going against everything that you are constituted. You're going against both things that are within and things that are without. You're going against forces. But you know, as you are marching, you're moving, your feet is being polished. That thing is a preparation of the gospel of peace. So you mount. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, then that bringeth good tidings of good. It looks like tautology, but it's not. Let's calibrate it with the other scriptures that I quoted. How beautiful are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. Righteousness is a good tiding. Righteousness that is in Christ Jesus. Because that's the law that is in him. You remember? For the law of the Spirit of life The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. Back to that Isaiah quickly. So they publish what? They bring good tidings. So they bring righteousness. And then they now publish peace. Are you seeing it? Righteousness. King of righteousness. King of peace. King of peace. Then that bringeth good tidings of good. There is good tidings, but there is good tidings of good. Good tidings of good is higher than good tidings. So in other words, to say that priests of the Most High, what he has are most high things. Those are the things that he's able to bring forth. So when Melchizedek met Abraham, what did he give to him? What did he give to him? Bread and wine. They were things. They were things. He brought things. What did Abraham bring? Tithes of all. What is that? Amen. Tenth of. And, but you know, I believe that Abraham, the reason why he was able to discern Melchizedek was he was already learning righteousness. He was already learning righteousness. You can't discern such a man if you're not on the path of faith. So it means salvation won't even appear without you being on the path of faith. You have to have been on the path of faith. So he was able to recognize Melchizedek when he saw him, because he had been learning faith. He was still learning faith, but he saw a man who has finished learning faith and has learned peace and has come into salvation. What he saw a man that has become what he is dreaming of. So what he did was to tap into it. He sawed into it. This is what I am looking for. I see a man who has embodied what I am looking for. Let me give. Let me sow into it. Amen. Amen. If you sow to the Spirit, what will you reap? Huh? Life. You will reap life. So he reaped life. He also reaped priesthood. He reaped priesthood because, you know, Levi was in his loins when he paid tithes. So when he was paying tithes, he was collecting the things that this guy have worked in. Tithes. Abraham. Then Abraham had tithes. Then he blessed Abraham. Now you know what it means to be to bless you with the Most High. That's what he has. He has most high things. So when he blesses with most high. Even though he gives bread and wine, you see that bread and wine is for you to connect the most high. A carnal man will not see anything in bread and wine. You need to have walked by faith to know that this thing is just a representation of something. It's a token. With it you will connect the Most High. Now if you are in the holy place, when you bring forth bread and wine, you're going to bring forth after that order. But when you are in the most holy, when you bring, it will be the same bread and wine, but it is not the same in the realm of the Spirit. What you're bringing forth is from your order. So Melchizedek brought forth and then blessed Abraham. Blessed be Abraham of the Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Can you say King of righteousness? King of righteousness. Say it again with me. King of righteousness. King of righteousness. King of peace. King of righteousness. That's Melchizedek. King of righteousness. King of peace. Priest of the Most High. So you can see the same had reign in righteousness. And then reign in what? In peace. Let's go back to that Romans. Where we are reading. Those who have received abundance of grace and gift of righteousness shall reign in life. You need to reign in life before you can come to eternal life. Meaning you have to have reigned in Christ. The reign of Christ is the dominion of Christ, and he reigns over sin. Sin shall no longer have dominion over you. We need to get there. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. We need to get to the place where sin shall no longer have dominion over us. I don't know if you're here, you desire holiness. True holiness. True holiness. Not just, you know, there's that holiness where we're able to keep ourselves. Am I saying something here? That we're able to keep, we find strength to keep ourselves. To keep ourselves is to bring our body under subjection. But I'm not talking about just bringing body under subjection. I'm talking about when he that is born of God. There's he that is born of God that keepeth himself, but as he that is born of God that sinneth not. Meaning he can't. He's not even keeping himself from sin. He's totally away from the, you know, the radar of sin. Sin can't find him. You know, sin can't find Jesus. There's a place where sin can't find him. Romans, let's finish it up with that. Then the next verse. Therefore, as by the offense of one, what came? Judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the gifts, free gifts, came upon all men unto justification of life. Amen. 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 So it means that justification of life is what God has given to man. God will first of all give man. God does not give eternal life to man. Check that place. When you read John, Gospel of John chapter 17. He said, John chapter 17 verse 3. He said, for thou glorify thy son, for thy that thy son might glorify thee, as thou hast given him what? Power over all flesh. That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. He has power over all flesh. But he will not give eternal life to all flesh. First of all, what he will do is that he will give eternal life to those that God has given to him. Listen, this is what I'm saying. God will have to give you to him. There's a way God gives you to him. For God to give you to him, God has to give you life. In Romans, he said, he that has not the Spirit of Christ is not of his. That Spirit of Christ that he's talking about is not the Holy Ghost. It's the law of Christ. You must have received the law of Christ. That is what takes you out from flesh. Now, power over all flesh is reign over sin. That's why he's able to give life to those who are flesh, because he has reign over all flesh. But not only has reign over all flesh, he also has ability to give eternal life to those that he has been able to raise out of flesh. Meaning he can take flesh. That's wonderful. That is wonderful. It's a miracle. Can take flesh out of flesh and flesh to become his. Then he will now give them eternal life. Eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. You know the one he made the promise to? It was to Adam. Not flesh. It was to Adam. But Adam became flesh. So the job has to be, we have to take him out of flesh. You don't understand. You don't understand. You don't understand what it means to convert flesh to spirit. To become Christ. Because that's what it means to be spirit. To become Christ. To convert flesh. To be flesh can be Christ. Meaning I can be Christ. I can be Christ. Christ has reign over sin. Christ has dominion over sin. Sin cannot reign over Christ. It's impossible. I can be Christ in my thoughts. I can be Christ in my action. I can be Christ in my emotion. I can be Christ in my imagination. I can be Christ in my intellect. I can be Christ in every member. All my members can all be Christ. The last verse of that as a round of amen. I didn't know you were to teach, sir. I would have just cut it short. Hi. Because I wanted to hear. Amen. The last verse of that Romans. That our sin has reigned unto. Are you seeing the reign of sin? Sin reigned unto death. Huh? The wages of sin is death. Meaning you reign and reign and reign and reign and reign and then death. Even so might grace, which is Christ, reign through righteousness, which is the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus, unto eternal life. Are you seeing where the reign of righteousness is taking us to? Unto eternal life. That's why that second Peter was saying, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you neither shall be barren nor fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then the next verse now said, but he that lacketh these things, so a man can lack these things. You can be Christ, but you may be lacking in Christ. You may be lacking in Christ. You will still be blind and you will not be able to see afar off. There is one who is afar off. That's God. That's eternal life. That's salvation. He's afar off. Hey, he's afar off. But there's a time when it will be said, now is your salvation nearer than when you believe. Why? Because you have fulfilled certain things. You have done Christ. You've done Christ. Your doing Christ brings salvation nearer. And had forgotten that he was purged from his own sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, are you saying we must do them? Can you see we must do them? There are things we must do. If you do these things, you shall never fall. Because Christ will never fall.
Hallelujah.
Christ, you know what I mean by fall? You won't fall on the path of eternal life. You fall short. You shall never fall. And then what will happen? For Saul, an entrance be ministered unto you abundantly. Why? Because of abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness you've acquired, an entrance will be ministered to you into the everlasting kingdom. Reverend was teaching us recently. He said in the kingdom is calibrated. There is a point of the kingdom where it's called everlasting kingdom. That you can enter into the kingdom, but you may not have entered into the everlastingness of the kingdom. That you can enter into kingdom and come out. But if you enter into everlasting, you will last. Meaning you can't come out again. And that is where we are going to. That's salvation. That's salvation. That is salvation. Hallelujah. How many of us we are blessed? Can we just give God praise this?
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.